together, and so forth. So I've known the grown for all these years. He's close to me. He is a dear friend, and he's a very studious student of the Bible. He knows it well. He's a mere man. He can make mistakes, and I say that to introduce myself. Just a mere man, capable of making mistakes, so I invite you to follow along to see that the things spoken this week are only from the Word of God, not my I think so's, not my views, not my opinions, but as old brother Peter said it in the long ago, if anyone speak, let me speak as the oracles of God. So that would be my intentions this week. I hope you'll be back as much as you possibly can. I hope you set the week aside to come and encourage one another. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, being an encouragement to one another. God willing, this evening, we'll talk about, this is for our senior saints. How shall the old secure their hearts? Lord willing, tomorrow night, we'll talk about when your world is turned upside down. Tuesday night, we'll talk about, I died last night. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'm still undecided, okay? But I brought some sermons anyway. But if you can be back, please come back. If you can invite a friend, a relative, a co-worker, please invite them to come. They're going to hear the pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, and we will pray that their heart might be tender to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and follow along with me there in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 3 is where our text will be taken from this morning. And as I said, I want to talk about the need of exhortation and the benefit of exhortation. Really, the power of encouragement. When you think about encouragement, we're going to ask in just a moment, what are you thinking of? Well, here in Hebrews chapter 3, picking up at verse number 12, we have this reading, depending on your version. But in one version it says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Watch the next verse. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, watch the contingency here, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. Hey, I think it would be a fair statement to say this. We all like to be encouraged. We all appreciate a good pat on the back every now and then. But in this text, we see that we are commanded to give encouragement. The New Testament uses the word, let me say, when I say the New Testament, the New King James Version renders the word exhort here. All right? Instead of take care, brethren, and instead of encourage, he talks about let's exhort one another. And from W.E. Vine's expository dictionary on New Testament words, he defines it this way. Para, to the side. Kaleo, to call to the side. We may be able to relate to it like this, where an attorney or a lawyer has a paralegal that they call to the side and take notes and so forth. All right? To admonish, to exhort. Watch this. To urge one to pursue a course of conduct always for good. That's what encouragement is all about. So the passage is a good example of the New Testament command. Look at it again. Take care, but exhort at verse 13. Verse 14, hold fast to the end. Folks, the second commandment, to exhort, really empowers us to keep the other two. I guess the question before us this morning is, how serious are we? How serious are we about keeping God's commands? Well, I suggest to you, first of all, there are some reasons for exhortation. And thus I begin with, God commands it. So if God commands it, what are we to do with it? Well, hopefully that would be a no-brainer. That means I'm to encourage those around me. In Hebrews chapter 3 there again at verse 13, but exhort one another. This isn't a suggestion. This is a commandment. Now, let me just ask this. There's an Old Testament reference there, I believe, also back in Deuteronomy chapter 6 at verse 24 that we could reference also. So let's ask, since it's a command to exhort one another daily, when was the last time? I'm asking you and I'm asking myself, when was the last time we encouraged someone? When was the last time we exhorted someone to pursue a course of conduct to help draw them closer to God? You know, God, again, isn't just simply commanding us to help someone through a tough day. Hey, buddy, don't worry about it too much. Tomorrow's another day. Oh, no, it goes much deeper than that. No, God is commanding us to urge one another to pursue a course of conduct with which God would be well pleased. We need to realize, I think, brothers and sisters here at Harrisburg, that discussing the wonderful teachings of God and warning those who are wandering away from the Word of God, that just isn't pulpit talk. Now we need to understand that. That's just not pulpit talk. The Bible says to encourage one another daily. God commands it to be a part of our everyday speech. So think about this. We can all say something. We can all do something that would help someone live more faithfully to the Lord, can't we? Examine yourselves here this morning. Here's the membership at Harrisburg. You probably know internally who's going through some difficult times, whether it be physically, emotionally, spiritually. What do you do about that? Do you encourage them? Do you exhort them to keep on keeping on for the Lord, to keep putting God first in your life despite whatever trials you're going through? We may talk maybe Wednesday night, I'll go ahead and throw this out, about Mrs. Job. What do you know about Mrs. Job? All right? We'll look at her in depth, Lord willing, Wednesday night. And if anyone ever need encouraged and exhorted, let me tell you, yeah, it was Job all right, but it was his wife. So I hope you sisters in Christ will come back and hear that message Wednesday evening. I think you'll really appreciate it as we get another perspective on Mrs. Job. Well, a second reason for exhortation, not only does God demand it, but if we're not careful, here's what happens. We can develop an evil, unbelieving, hardened heart. We're talking about, folks, a heart, not this. We're talking about a heart that is no longer receptive to God's Word. A heart that is possibly departing from the living God. I mean, how serious is that? What is, again, the purpose of exhortations? Think about this. It's designed to warn a person about the danger they're in, right? That's what encouragement is. That's what exhortation is. In Galatians chapter 6, at verse 1, you may remember there where Paul writes here to the church, and he says, if any brethren be overtaken and in a fault, if someone's struggling and you see them departing from the living God, what did Paul say to do? He said, you restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Turn your Bibles over to the book of James, James chapter 5, if you will, and listen to verses 19 and 20, how James says it. James says here, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, have you ever known anyone to wander from the truth? Do you know perhaps there's been Christians here in the past who have wandered from the truth? God forbid, what if there's some Christian here this morning who is wandering from the truth? Listen to what James says. James says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone, not the preacher, not the elders, not the deacons, someone, and someone turns him back, look what happens. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Do you see how powerful encouragement is? Do you see how powerful it is to exhort those who may be wandering away from the truth? How many of us know individuals like that? I suggest to you that it's a harsh reality. That someone who began his or her life in Christ with so much zeal and so much determination to follow Jesus can, over time, lose every bit of their faith in God and His Word. That's reality. Because you and I know former Christians, if you will, who have left the Lord. They've turned their back on God and they've gone back out into the world. How devastating is that? In your Bibles, in Psalm 95, that once happened to an entire nation of people. But I'll read from our text here if you're still there in Hebrews chapter 3, picking up at verse number 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion day, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray where? In their heart. And they have not known my ways, so I swore my wrath. They shall not enter my rest. There's another reason to exhort. A third reason. And I hit the wrong button. It's because sin is deceitful. That's in our text there. You see that? Look again at verse number 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Is sin deceptive? Hey, have you ever been deceived by sin? I could just poll the assembly this morning and just say, raise your hand if you've never been deceived by sin, and not a hand would go up. We've all been deceived of sin. That's the nature of sin, one of the natures of sin. Because Satan is a deceptor, right? He's the deceiver, right? That's his objective, right? Yes. That's right. Sin is deceitful. Think about that. This is what sin does. It promises pleasure. But what does it deliver? Oh, it may be pleasure, but as the Bible will tell us, it's only for a season. It's just temporary pleasure. All right? Now listen. The person who habitually commits sin is deceived by sin. And what do we mean by habitually? They've made a habit out of sin. I had a brother-in-law. He long divorced my sister-in-law. He was a habitual liar. You ever known someone like that? You can't believe a word they say. That may be your brother-in-law. I don't know. No offense against any brother-in-laws here, but listen. That's what the deceitfulness of sin does. It can become a habit. This person doesn't believe the result of their sins can really be that bad. Hey, wake up. take the rose-colored glasses off. Look around in the society in which you live. It's awful, isn't it? The Bible says that, listen, it's going to wax worse and worse, isn't it? And boy, doesn't it. Sin just waxes worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Just listen to the news. This person believes that they can enjoy the pleasures of sin without reaping the terrible consequences that follow it. Oh, what a lie we tell ourselves. Well, the longer one is deceived by that lie, the harder their heart becomes, and less likely are they to allow their life to be directed by God. So, I want us to think about this as you view the screens there. Here's three reasons for exhortation. God commands it. Number two, we can develop an evil, unbelieving heart. And yes, thirdly, sin is deceitful. Listen, we're all capable of being deceived if we're not vigilant. You see that passage there in 1 Peter 5? Peter writes there at verse 8. You're familiar with it. Peter starts off there and he says, be sober. He says, be vigilant. Why, Peter? He says, for your adversary, the devil, he walks around like a roaring lion doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. I say again, that's the objective of the devil. To devour you. And if we're not sober, if we're not clear-headed spiritually, if we're not vigilant, he'll get us. But wait a minute, there's a remedy. Read verse 9. Him. Who's him at verse 9? The devil in verse 8. Him resist. How, Peter? Keep reading. Steadfast in the faith. How about that? How about that? So we've got to resist the devil. James chapter 4 tells us how we do that. How does James say to do it? Well, James chapter 4 verse 7, therefore submit yourselves to God. We understand what submit means? To be under the authority, to be under the power of God. Submit yourselves to God, watch this, resist the devil, and what will happen? He'll flee from you. Now let me qualify that statement. That doesn't mean he's not coming back. But I will say this. The more we resist him, the less trouble we have out of him. Does that make sense? That makes sense because verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and what will God do? Well, he'll draw nigh to you. So who do you want to be the closest with? The devil or God? You see, I say sin is deceitful. You know how deceitful it is. Every one of us here this morning have one of these at home. And we surf, and we surf, and we surf. And sometimes in our surfing, pictures come across. Oh. Nobody's here. So we start telling ourselves a lie. No one's going to know. My wife's upstairs. The kids are gone. It's just me. And so we give in to that temptation because we have deceived ourselves that nobody knows. I don't know if it's in this hymn book, but you're probably familiar with that old song, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. That's really all that matters, isn't it? Church, again, I'm just warning us that sin is deceitful and we have to be on guard from that sin. All right. So, there's some reasons for exhortation. Let's just move on now, all right? Again, let's look at some benefits of exhortation. Look at some benefits of exhorting one another, encouraging one another. What good, what positive comes out of that? Well, there's a lot a benefit from the practice of exhortation. And the reason I say that, it's found about 34 times in the New Testament. Now, we won't read all 34 verses, but just let me read three or four about this exhortation issue. All right? So listen to the day of Pentecost. Keith referenced that in your class this morning. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, and with many other words, you know what's neat about that whole context? Peter is preaching the first gospel sermon, as Keith mentioned, and he's preaching about Jesus Christ. And he starts there around verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, this man attested to you by signs and wonders and miracles. Peter starts telling them all about Jesus, the one they should have known from the prophets before them, their ancestors. And then he talks about bringing the lineage of David in to him, Jesus, and the connection that Jesus had with King David. And then in verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus, who he just preached to, is both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, when the audience heard that, the Bible says they were cut to the heart. They weren't having angina. They weren't having heart pain. It cut them to their conscience. It convicted them. When they heard this, they said, what? Men and brethren, what shall we do? If we're guilty of putting Jesus to death, what shall we do? Hey, that sermon was interrupted. Keith, I don't know when the last time you had a sermon interrupted, but I did happen to experience that once. This is what those Jews did. What shall we do? Peter said, what? Repent and be baptized. You know that. Look what happens at verse 40. And with many other words did he exhort. There it is. He exhorted them, encouraged them. He testified unto them, saying what? Be saved from this perverse generation. That's what he encouraged them to. You ask the question now, Peter says. Now I'm giving you the answer. And so he picks his sermon back up. With many other words did he exhort and testify. So Peter is encouraging his audience to do what? Let's go back to our introduction. To pursue a course of conduct for good. And of course, that's what happened in the next verse. Look how they responded. Isn't that amazing how it all comes out? They gladly received his word, and what happened to them? They were baptized, the Bible says. Let's move on. Acts 11:23. When he, that is Barnabas, when he came and seen the grace of God, he was glad, and what else was he doing? He encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should what? They should continue with the Lord. That's encouragement. When you're encouraged to continue with the Lord, that's encouraging. That's what it's designed to do. Sometimes we have to do that with one another. When you get weak spiritually, when you get tempted spiritually, when you know of a situation in your lives of your brothers and sisters, do what Barnabas said. Listen, there's a reason that he's called the son of encouragement. In Acts 14 at verse 22, Paul strengthening the souls of the disciples. How's he strengthening the souls of the disciples? We're all disciples here this morning. We've all got a soul, right? How's your soul going to be encouraged, exhorting them to continue in the faith? Listen, he said, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. And that still stands true this morning, doesn't it? It surely does. We must through many tribulations. Maybe some of you have experienced the loss of family members because of your stand for Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus warned us ahead of time that that could happen. I've not come to send peace. I've come to send a sword. Well, what does a sword do? It divides. It will. And it will divide family members. If you're committed to Jesus Christ, more so than your blood, your family. I want to encourage you that you're doing the right thing. Your family did not die for your sins. Jesus Christ died for your sins that you could have an eternal home in heaven. So expect that. We've all perhaps grown up hearing this cliche for so long that we bought into it that, well, blood's thicker than what? Water. And it may be. But sadly, within the body of Christ, oftentimes, blood is thicker than Scripture. And that ought not never be. Jesus said, he that loves father and mother more than me, husband and wife more than me, brother, sister more than me, Jesus said, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Listen to that. Can I borrow a passage from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, 21 through 23? You know it as well as I do. Not everyone that says unto me, what? Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now that's who's going to heaven. Those who do the will of the Father. Not everyone's going. But many will say to me, Jesus says, in that day, Lord, Lord, listen to them. They're trying to negotiate with Jesus at his judgment seat. Haven't we done this? Haven't we done that? In your name. And Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Oh, I know it's important for us to know Jesus. But come judgment day, what's of vital importance is this. Does Jesus know you? Yeah. Does Jesus know you? I say again, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So Paul again is preaching the same message, encouraging those disciples, exhorting them to pursue a course of conduct for good, to draw them closer to God. Church here at Harrodsburg, that's what I'm trying to do this morning. As I encourage myself, I'm encouraging you. Let's do the best we can while we can for the goodness of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, real quick. Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. Listen to that exhortation. To abound more and more. To increase more and more. Don't be satisfied where you are at spiritually. You know, sometimes we do that, don't we? We get content where we're at. I've been a Christian 45 years. You know, you can grow old. And you can grow up. But unless you grow up in Jesus, you've really missed the boat. Now here's what I'm saying about this. We can't rest on our laurels. Well, back when I was 30 years old, I remember I was so into Jesus, and I was just spreading His word and being instrumental in leading people to Christ. Well, that's good. But in the last 35 years, what have you done? Well, you really haven't done maybe a whole lot. Maybe you're a pew warmer. We've heard of them, right? Yeah. I've got my pew. Everybody's got their pew, right? You sit there every Sunday, don't you? No, he just sits here. I missed him. Buddy, how about you? Yeah, just about. Everybody's got their pew, right? Now watch this. I don't know if we got any teachers in the assembly. But, you know, we got this grading scale. A, B, C, D, F, right? Yeah. And so, with that grading scale, when we bring that over in the spiritual realm, let's just look at our report card for a moment, okay? What grade are you maintaining right now? See, this is what we're talking about here. He's exhorting them in the name of the Lord Jesus that you should do more and more. Sometimes we don't want to do more and more. This is me. Lee, this is my comfort zone, Brother Lee. Leave me alone. Yeah. There's Christians like that. Well, watch what happens. Let's just say, I just want to be average. Well, go back to the grading scale. A, B, C. What does C equal? Average? Yeah. It equals average. See, it's not an A or it's not a B. It's not a D and it's not an F. But I'm right in the middle. I like that. I like being average. That's what's wrong with the church in so many places today. There's too many average church members. Church members don't want to abound. Hey, read about those average church members at Laodicea in Revelation 3:16. Who Sure, Jesus said, I wish you were hot or I wish you were cold. But because you're average, because you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. You see, when you're average, you're just as close to the bottom as you are to the top. So it's not a good thing to be average. That's why we got to do what Paul says here. I got to abound more and more. I got to receive exhortation to be more pleasing to God. All right? Listen. We all get a little discouraged by the challenges that we face each day. You know what I'm talking about. You've got your story, I've got my story, right? Yeah, we do. And we'll talk about, Lord willing, that in depth tomorrow night. We all feel spiritually weak at times. We may be tempted to not resist temptation because sin has deceived us. And again, you know what I'm talking about. We may feel like this sometimes. We may say, hey, what's the use? Nobody up there at Harrodsburg is interested in me. I'm fighting a losing battle. Hey, the devil's too strong and I'm too weak. Ever feel that way? But, did I say but? I said but. But, if we have someone exhorting us, we are more likely to overcome our moments of weakness. We are more likely to overcome our moments of losing focus of our minds and be redirected on the Almighty God who has promised never to leave us, never for forsake us. Hebrews 13 at verse 5. I say, but if we've got someone exhorting us, you know, if we're trying to find our battles by ourselves, we're doomed. 1 Peter 5 at verse 7, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Let's talk about the benefits of exhortation as we come to a close here. We've got one more point. The benefits of exhortation, they're just so enormous. They are so far-reaching in time. Do you know that some of us are serving the Lord today because of someone's exhortation, because of someone's encouragement to you so many years ago, who said the right words at the right time to put us back on the right track. Watch how we do this. When I came in this morning, I heard, I don't know how many of you say, how you doing? That's our normal greeting, isn't it? How you doing? Good to see you. Da-da-da. Okay. How you doing? Mel, how you doing? Watch this. When I say how you doing, Mel, sometimes the signal is this. He's asking how am I doing physically. You know, looking good. Must be doing all right. How you doing, Mel? Doing okay. That can be maybe a little encouraging, but watch what's more encouraging. Mel, how you doing spiritually, brother?
Doing good.
See? Now, that, you know what that can do? That can trigger something. Oh, Brother Lee, you don't know how bad I've been wanting to talk to someone. I've got it all inside of me, and I just don't feel comfortable in just talking to anyone, and yet someone prompted you. They encouraged you. They exhorted you by a question. How are you doing spiritually? Can I ask this as I put myself on a guilt trip? When's the last time you asked a brother or sister, how are you doing spiritually? We need to be concerned with one another. We call ourselves a family of God at Harrodsburg, right? We're a family. But when's the last time I expressed my love? When's the last time I expressed my concern to my family? Or do we just let it go with the flow, you know? Yeah. Okay, real quick, last point in the lesson will be yours to do with what you so choose. I just pray that God will be glorified by our efforts this morning. Okay. Okay, that should have been back. I don't know why. Okay. Unbelief. Here's the result for failing to exhort. Here's our lesson, church, right here. In Hebrews chapter 3, picking up at verse 16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Listen to the series of questions here. Indeed, was it not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now, with whom? Here's another question. Was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Another question, verse 18. And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Of the 603,550 men who left Egypt, how many entered the promised land? Do you remember? You remember Joshua and Caleb. What happened? Why did the others fail to enter in? Why? Because of what verse 19 says. Because of their unbelief. Why did they of all people not believe God, having seen his unequal power manifested before them time and time and time again? Why? Because they were not exhorting one another. We can do this, brethren. You remember the spies that went out? They believe the report of the 10 spies. We can't do it. They develop that grasshopper complex, right? Well, they'll crush us. And Caleb says, we're well able. We got this. Yeah. Oh, that we would possess the attitude and disposition of Caleb. Well, here we are at the close. And we ask, or make this statement. It will be the failure of the Lord's church today if we don't repent of our apathetic attitude and begin extending brotherly and sisterly love to one another. Oh, I'm not questioning your love, but let's get below the surface. Let's be concerned with one another's spiritual disposition. Okay, so here's a source of encouragement. And let's notice the benefit of this encouragement. slack on encouraging my brothers or sisters. I mean,